All right, so we're in Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot is Perek Aleph, Mishnah 6. We're in the middle of the Mishnah, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah said, Yeshua ben Parachia v'nita arbeili kibu mehem. Yeshua ben Parachia omer. Asi lecha rav, k'nei lecha chaver, v'avadon es kol adam kafsos. Make for yourself a Rebbe, and acquire for yourself a friend, literally, and judge every person favorably. So we're up to the part we spoke about. Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a rav. That you always have to have someone that you're receiving from. That's one of the pshatim. Different pshatim that we're speaking about. Sometimes you need to get that from a sefer, but the best is always from a real person. But if you can't, then go to a sefer. We also said that asei lecha rav means, in a certain sense, that you have to be a master over your own taivas and over your own body. That's one of the aspects of asei lecha rav. Another aspect, all of these different aspects of Asei Lecha Rav. He said also, Asei Lecha Rav, you should try to find the tzaddik within you, like the mashal that Rav Nachman said, that sometimes you have to travel very far to seek out a tzaddik, but really the tzaddik ends up being within you. So that was all the pshatim, some of the pshatim that we mentioned in Asei Lecha Rav. And now we get to the next part, Ukni Lecha Chaver, you gotta acquire a friend. So, okay, if you just read that regularly, you say, Kni Lecha Chaver means get a friend. It doesn't mean acquire. However, the Bar Tanur, who is the simple pshat of the Mishnah, says it means in the most literal sense. It means go out, and if you have to pay money to acquire someone's friendship, you should pay the money to acquire someone's friendship. So when you look at that, anyone that looks at that Bar Tanur, especially nowadays, you know, with all the help of psychology and everything, and just doesn't make sense. That's not friendship. If you have to pay a guy, you know, the guys that throw around all the money and everyone's their best buddy, those guys aren't exactly the best friends. So it doesn't make much sense. But if the Torah is telling it to us, if Bar Tanur is telling it to us, there must be something in here that very often we don't understand things in the Torah because we're coming from the Western approach of what everything means. Then we have to change our approach to say, what is the Torah? How does the Torah look at something? And then we can see, oh, that it makes perfect sense. So when we approach friendship, friendship means, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. I love that guy. Why? Because he does great things for me. I love hanging around with him because I feel great when I'm around him. Or I love ice cream. Why? Because ice cream's cold and delicious. You know, like they always say, if you really loved it, you wouldn't eat it. you wouldn't be destroying the ice cream. So the point is that we look at love as something that we take, and friendship is something that we take and that we get. The Torah looks at it the exact opposite. Rav Dessler speaks about how ahava comes from the root of hav, to give. And the whole word, aleph, hey, vez, hey, is the gematria of echad, of 13, of one. Same gematria. What does all that mean? It means that true love, in the Torah's from the Torah's perspective, is not anything other than I recognize that I am totally one with someone else, and I just want to give to the person. So we're all part, you know, like the right hand doesn't argue to give to the left hand, and everything in one body always gives to each other because they have the natural love because they're one. So when we have someone else that we have to really work on to recognize that, that's called friendship. If I see my friend and he needs, you know, he needs some chizik and I give it to him, that's called buying his friendship because I'm giving to him. And by giving, in the Torah's perspective, that makes a friendship when I give. If someone needs money and they're really down and out, and I give them a loan, or I give them some tzedakah, or I give them a job, whatever it is, by giving to them that money, so to speak, I'm buying them friendship. Not in the way that we see that, you know, I'm giving to him so he's going to love me. No, being that I'm giving and I'm recognizing that we're totally one, that act of giving from that recognition and from coming from that unity actually makes the friendship strong. That's the Kenei Lecha Chaver. It could be the Kenei Lecha Chaver that the Bar Tanur is telling us to buy with money. It means that whatever we have to give to our friend, and that will acquire the friendship. Bas Emes, he sees the word Kenei as actually also a very interesting thing. He says, why does it say Kenei Lecha Chaver? You should buy a friend, right? So he says that it's teaching us how to choose friends properly. Right, we think choose friends properly. I mean, you know, you get along, you hang out, you have some experiences together. That's what a friend is. He says no. He says if you're making a purchase of a car, so to speak, you know, a car, let's say something very big, a very great purchase. So you're going to walk into a room and say, yeah, that one's red. It looks nice. It's good. Okay, fine, I'll take it. You know, $30,000. No one's going to in their right mind do that. You know, very interesting people, maybe they're very, very, very wealthy, they do that for fun. But most people, it's something very fashionable. You're gonna spend your time and do your research and look at consumer reports and ask around 100 guys. You're going to do all your research. And it's the same thing. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us with a chaver. We think a friend is a guy that we hang out with, but really it's such a powerful thing, a friend, that we have to be very careful. We have to choose them like a knei, like a acquisition of something very valuable. And therefore we have to choose them with being very careful. Nachman himself in Sichas Aran says that a bad friend can distance a person sometimes more than the Yetzirah himself. Yetzirah is his angel and stuff, and he tries to do all these things, but a bad friend can manage to take a person down. You see that in life, like a guy is, no, like little yeshiva bachur, he's not doing so well, so he's going to go on Mechal Shabbos. He's not going to do something like that. But if he's hanging out on Friday night, a bunch of guys, and there's like this whole peer pressure, and there's a girl there, it makes it even more pressure, and they're like smoking, they're like, come on, take a drag, and you all of a sudden start to be Mechal Shabbos, like that. And you see that the koyach, the Yetzirah, he works, he goes slowly. Rav Nosson speaks about that, the Yetzirah always goes slowly, but a friend can make things move, a bad friend can make things move much faster. 2:30. It'll be $2. So,
I heard this that the Yetzirah is more limited because the Yetzirah has rules to follow, and humans we don't have any rules. You can do whatever you want.
A free choice.
That's why also sometimes a tzaddik will deliberately embarrass somebody, and he'll damage him. And what he does is he sees there's dinim on the person. So he takes it on himself to cause the person tsar, so that once he takes it on himself, the Bezna Shomala is not, they back off. And the reason they back off is that, like, if a person's causing him tsar, people can be so cruel. He's like, a person can do more harm than we can.
Wow.
We're limited by what we're allowed to do to him, but if a person's causing him harm, he can give him what he actually deserves. So they back off, and then the tzaddik can, I'm not actually going to give him as much. But Shemayim knows that their angels are limited in what the rules are allowed to follow, but we can.
Wow.
We have no limit.
And Bechirat, do whatever we want.
Exactly.
Wow. There's a story at the Baba Sali like that. There was once these three Yeshiva Bachim that came into him, and they were asking for brachas and everything. From the second they walked in, he was cursing them and screaming at them, "You're a bunch of lowlifes, you're not learning, you're not doing." Mom was like, horrible, and like everyone was like, oh my gosh, the Baba Sali, he's just so nice. Here he is, like, mom is like eating into them, and then they were just okay, they're like totally overwhelmed, and they walked out, and he said to his guy, like under his breath, it's like, I was only able to save two, and they got into a massive accident, and one of them died, like, and right where they left. He said that it says in the Torah that someone who embarrasses a person that's embarrassed is like a dead person, so he was basically embarrassing them until they were already dead. They didn't have to die in the accident, but he's only able to do that to two of them. Hashem should help, but we should have all things come through goodness. And the opposite, Mida Tov Meruba, we always say, is a good friend. A good friend can lift you up very, very much. You're like down, you don't want to learn that extra minute. He says, come on, a good friend is also something that could lift up a person. We should be zochet to good friends.
But a bad friend can drop you out of the yeshiva.
Out of the yeshiva, right.
Faster than you know.
Right, right.
Or your parents know.
Yeah, you gotta buy a good friend. That's what we spoke about, Akiva. We'll get you. You have to listen to JerusalemCats.com to get the beginning of this year. Okay? Look it up. CATS. Yeah.
All right.
The last part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah says the famous line for the brat's livers. But have it done as called Makaf's first. I bet some of them probably think Rav Nachman came up with that line, but it's actually in Pirkei Avos. Here it is. Perek Aleph Mishnah 6. So he says, judge every person favorably. Literally, have he done is called them judge every person, the kapsus on the weight, on the scale of merit. And if you want a more literal translation. So the Bar Tanura says, what does this mean? He says in the literal, without getting into the breast of pshat, it means that you see someone doing that, could be interpreted as bad, it could be interpreted as good, to judge him in a favorable light, and assume that what he's doing, assuming that he is someone that you don't know who he is, I mean, if you know him to be a Rasha, then you could technically assume that he's doing bad. If you know him to be a Tzaddik, then you have to judge him that he's totally doing good. But if you don't know who he is, and so you judge him positively. Rav Nachman, of course, in Azama and Rish Pei Beis, 282, in the Kutim Aran, he understands the whole thing much differently. He says that people are filled with good and filled with bad. And the point of what our job is to do is to sift through the good and the bad and extricate the good. That's done by finding these good points within us or within other people, recognizing it and focusing on it. And by doing that, it stirs up the good, so to speak, and it can bring a person to come back to his inner core of what he truly is, a Jew, a Pintel Yid, and that inner core, when it's stirred up and when it starts to move, can bring a person back fully to Hashem. This is called lifting him up to the good side. And if you look at the Mishnah, technically you could see in the Mishnah, according to the way we've explained it, also you could see that this is something that could be explained. Aseh Lecha Rav, we said, is that you have to make yourself into a Rav, work on yourself to overcome your lower desires and things like that. There's a place in also a few places in the Likutei Moran put it together. Rav Nachman says that kane, which is sometimes is the quill or sometimes a choir, also has one more meaning of the throat. Right, kane is the kane and the veshet, the two things that you have to shech to make a proper shrita. The kane is the throat. Chaver is also from the lashon. That's probably where it comes from. That a chaver is someone that you're close to, is chibur, is you have a connection to that person. So Rav Nachman, according to these things that Rav Nachman is speaking about, uknei l'cha chaver, is that how do you acquire a friend? How do you get to this? Uknei, you have to speak. When you speak and you connect that chibur, when you connect to people with speaking to people, you have a great way to connect to people, obviously through speaking. And then, once you've worked on yourself and you're connecting to people and trying to bring out the good in them, then you're using a Zamra, this and that Hashem brings out all the good that Reish Pei Beis is talking about. We're just in the slip of this circus, and someone says that the Israelis came up with a line, maybe just him and his buddies to Reish Pei Beis, to Rapab the person. He says, you heard that one?
No, it was an earlier question.
Okay, sure.
This is a question just on a point that just come into that. On the good points. You're talking the good points, then there's both of them. Would be the good points, you're thanking Hashem for, let's say, previous mitzvahs you've done, let's say, can't keep somebody first time they were at Pesach Seder, and they had Shavuot and Matzah, and they're just so joyous and so. What's a practical example of a good point? Because you're saying good point, but what? You're just trying to really understand, get it down, what should be the anchor in the field? You're coming out of Hishbat, you should be tying that good points into Shabbat to do, ending on a good point. Where should that be? Good points can just trying to get
it's true.
Take it down from, let's say, more of a higher level, but really getting it to a specific point. What is good point? What is practically good points? And how would that link to Shabbat to do? And
Rabbi said that you have to always, like it says in the Gemara, you have to always start off his vodazus in any tefillah. Shmonesre is created like that, with praise and thanks, you know, like that, and then ask Hashem for what you need, and then end off with praise and thanks again. So his vodazus is the same thing, same way, you have to start like that. So it's funny, because I was just thinking recently about that, and I was thinking, like, you know, a lot of times we come into his vodazus and we say, you know, Hashem, you're really awesome, you give me hands and feet, and Hashem, you're really amazing, I was zecher b'ran tefillin, and I kept Shabbos this week. It's missing something, meaning it's thanks, it's praise, it's nice, it's good, but it's like when you say Shemana Esrei, Mechaim Esim, HaTakadosh, you know, like, the point of starting off with praise is to blast us open that Hashem is here, and Hashem loves us, and Hashem is close to us. And then, with that blast, we can start saying, you know, we have a good perspective now, we say Hashem, you know, but Lenaisa, I'm missing this, and this I did wrong, and that's a healthy way to approach the thing. So how do you get to that? So I was thinking recently very much, I was going to say it in a few minutes, but now it's a great point to bring out now, is that whatever these things are, they have to be clear, like what you're saying, exactly. Meaning, if you just stay in the Kudos Tovos, and you do that, and they're very vague, it's not going to do the job. What? Nekudot Tovos. They got to be clear, sharp, Nekudot Tovos. It says also, it says in one of the brachos in Shemoneh Esrei, it says Hashiveinu Avinu Asarasecha V'Kaveinu Malkinu L'Vadasecha. Right? It says that Hashem, you should bring us close, our Father, to the Torah, and Hashem, you should bring us the Melech to Tefillah. So it's a little interesting. Why does it start off with Torah and then it goes to Tefillah? That's number one. Number two, it starts off Hashiveinu Avinu Asarasecha, our Father. It's like such a loving, you know, close feeling. And that's in relation to Torah, which very often we look at as like more sechli, you know, more intellectual, more distance to the heart, to what a father and a son would feel. And then we say Avinu, v'karvenu Avinu ma'avadasecha, and Hashem, and we call him the Melech, which is much more distance. When we refer to Avoda, which is Avoda Shevalei, which is Tefillah. So it's interesting, like we're going from, first of all, to Torah and then to Tefillah. And then also we're speaking about Torah in a very personal, very close way. And Tefillah we're speaking on a little more distance. So I was thinking recently that it has to do possibly with this, what we're saying with Hizbudadus, that how do you start off Hizbudadus? It has to be with a real blast of closeness. Right? It has to be with a real clear clarity thing. So in that case, it would be, I don't know if this is advisable, that it works with Nekudat Tova, it works with now Nekudat Tova. There's a lot of tzaddikim that are very into learning. Chabad does this very much, learning before davening. They go crazy. You have to learn half an hour at least, or an hour or 2 hours, and they learn Chassidus or Gemara, whatever it is, to learn before davening. What's the point of that? Is this? I think it's a similar thing. It's why we start off the tefillah with praise, is because we have to start off with a blast that Hashem is awesome and amazing. There was a Noda Yehuda. The Noda Yehuda was, you know, one of the big people from the Litvish world. So he once gave a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, you know, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, to inspire people to come close to Hashem to do tshuva. And it was a huge pilpul, a whole thing, pots and chalav, pots and pans, this whole thing. It was like incredible piece of Torah, and absolutely zero to do with tshuva. So some of the Talmidim came over afterwards and they said, you know, Rebbe, it was a beautiful piece that blew us away. Like, no one's ever heard such a pilpul like that. But it has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Like, so he says, listen, if I would have given, you know, I was just mentioning this a few days ago, one of the kids that I was teaching, he was like, yeah, my Rebbe always used to give the shawarma speech. You know, like, you ever seen the spit with the shawarma inside with the fires? That's what you're going to get. he said, if I would have given the shawarma speech, you know, you're all going to burn, do tshuva. How many guys would have really taken it to heart? A couple of people would have been like, he's right. Most guys are like, he's not talking to me, he's talking to the other guy. He's a sinner, me, I'm not going to burn. And those few people that really took it and said, wow, you know, I really do get it to tshuva. How many are going to actually make real commitments and kabbalas that actually last for the rest of their life on a path towards tshuva? One, two out of the 500 people in shul. So he says, but instead of doing that, I gave a pilpul. He says, 60% of you I saw understood the pilpul. Another 30% understood a large portion of it, and from the feel of it, they understood the rest of it. So for 90% of the people came out from this shmooze with incredible blast of, wow, Hashem's Torah is so unified. It's so amazing. It's so incredible. So, wow, like that feeling of amazement from Hashem and His Torah, that's what I wanted to give you. That's what I wanted to give everyone to come out with to go into Yom Kippur. It says in Uman, the Oivdim, they were called the Oivdim, the, you know, the servers of Hashem from Uman in the turn of the century, in the beginning of the 19th century, maybe it's called 20th century, I don't know, 1900s. They were incredible. They would like wake up chatzot and break the ice, and they would stop and learn the whole day and the whole night. It says that Reb Nachman says in Sichas Aran to learn Ian Ktsas, to learn a little bit Ian, right? Reb Nachman was into learning Bekiyot, a lot of things, but to learn a little Ian. So they would take a Ktsais HaChayshin, which is a very deep sefer, a pilpul, a litvish, a sefer on Shas and Poskim, and they would learn it for like, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes. They would learn it, they would grind it through, they would speak out the question, speak out the answer, and speak out the pilpul, a few guys and thing. And afterwards, it says they would burst out crying every day. Because they saw like the beauty of Hashem's Torah was so incredible. From this little geshmak ha-shtikl Torah on, you know, Yishalom Yidas, they would burst out crying like Hashem's Torah is amazing. So I think that's the purpose of why some people say that it's very important to learn before davening. Because if you do the learning, it says, Pikudei Hashem Yisrael Misamchei Lev. The point is to be misameach before you go into this thing. Not to come into this Vodadus or into Shmoneh Esrei or into anything and like, Hashem, you're great, now Hashem, give me this and that. It's not alive. But if and when you blast yourself with either a good piece of Torah, you know, you work through a piece of Torah, you don't just do it, you know, an Ovel is not allowed to learn Torah. Why? Because it's Mitzameach, and he's not a Bisimcha. But, they say, even an Ovel is allowed to learn, like, you know, he reads a Shtikl Gemara about Avelos, it's not going to give him Simcha. When you want to get Simcha from the Torah, you work it through, you speak it out, and you grind it through a little bit, that gives the simcha from the Torah. So a person that could start off this Buddhist with something like that, or, meaning, that's anyways a great way to come in. You have to come in with that simcha, with that awareness, wow, Hashem is awesome, amazing, and then the whole Buddhist is different. But even if you don't do that, even if you're doing it purely with Nekudot Tovot, the Nekudot Tovos have to be also, like what we're saying, it has to be something that's Mesameach, that opens you up. If you just say, like, a thousand times, Hashem, you know, they have these people that say the way to their happiness is to write a list. Write a list every day of five things. And you could write the list, and it'll include hundreds of things, but not necessarily will it move your heart to, like, open up to Hashem. I have hands, I have feet, I have money, it's not necessarily going to do it. But if and when you grind through an Nekudot Tovot, that's what you're asking, and went off on a nice tangent to explain it, is that if and when you take that Nekudot Tovot and you grind through and you clarify and you speak it out, literally like a little sugi on Shas, like I had a friend, he told me, like I once asked him something, and he said, yeah, he got, like it changed his life when he stopped speaking so much about Nekudot Tovot, and we have to do Nekudot Tovot, and he actually started spending 10 minutes speaking out what the Nekudot Tovot is with Hashem. Hashem, I was zecher to put on tefillin this morning. Hashem, first of all, who am I? Obviously, I'm a little guy. And I was zecher to put on the tefillin. I know the halachos, and I did it right. And I checked my tefillin last year, and they're kosher. And that means I have a mitzvah. Not only do I have a mitzvah, Hashem, you're awesome, you're big. And he started speaking more and more, and I don't even know how many olamas you have. And there's this olam and that olam. And he started speaking, and all of them start to shake and tremble with simcha, because you're so happy that I'm putting on tefillin. And he was speaking more and more and more. He said when he did that, his mamash changes his life, everything. Because then it's not just like a vague, yeah, Nekudot Tovot, I do a lot of good stuff, it's nice. It was clarified. And that clarification with Nekudot Tovot give you a simcha. And in general, the grinding through anything with in the sense of Torah, which you could do it anyway. I was like in the pits, and I was in his bodhidus, and I was like, you know, when you're in the pits, like it's hard to even get those words out. You're flung, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I remember like some pshat that I once heard in some mishnah. And I was like, no, Hashem, I'm just going to stay over that pshat. And I just started speaking it out and saying it over, and it just like opened and flowed. And after that, everything was just flowing. So you need some of that. You need either a nice little piece of Torah that you could just speak out. It doesn't have to be a Ketzos HaChoshen. It could be a little shtickle Torah you heard in Pirkei Avos or anything. Whatever it is. Ketzos HaChoshen, those are good. Av Mimlun. So whatever it is, you open it, opens you up. And if you do it with a Nekudot Tovot, it opens you up. Whatever it is, the point is that to get these things clear. Sometimes it helps when you recognize how low you are, sometimes the Nekudot Tovot gets even more bolet. It becomes more pronounced when you recognize Hashem. Like that's what Rav Nosson speaks about many times. He says, you know, like the worst person in the world, he can mamish break himself again and again and again and say how low he is, and then he should grab on and say, and even so I'm a Jew, and even so I put on tefillin. That brings you up a little bit. But that's going through it. And to do these things, you have to speak it out, verbalize it, not just mentalize it like, I know how low I am, I know this piece of Torah. No, you have to speak it out. And through doing that, I think it opens it up. If that answers the question a little bit. All right, great. Anyway, to end off the Mishnah, we got a few more minutes. The Gemara on Shabbos, an incredible Gemara on Shabbos, Lamed Beis, it illuminates this concept of Nekudot Tovot. It says, what's the only protection that a person has from sicknesses and problems is tshuva and ma'asim tovim. Like Rav Arash was saying yesterday, if you think that killing the Arabs is the answer, you're wrong. Right, we're going to think though. Then, you know, tshuva and ma'asim tovim are the only thing that helps us from ailments. So I'm up the creek. You know, I don't do so much tshuva. I don't do so much ma'asim tovim necessarily. The Gemara says no. He quotes a pasuk which describes a certain angel, Mini Eleph. It says that this angel saves a person even though it comes one in a thousand. There's a thousand angels. 999 of them are these black demonic angels saying this guy is bad, he's doing bad. And one of them is this little edel white angel. He says that little edel white angel is able to save the person. And the Gemara then quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who says that even in this white angel, he looks so nice, right? But then when he comes closer and you see him, he's filled with dirt. Even his clothing and everything is tattered. And even the white angel, even connected the mitzvah, the good mice and tovim that we did, is filled with all the garbage and all the stuff that we really had in mind. It's, even if there's one little point of a little piece in his forehead that's shining white, that one whiteness in 999 again, which comes out to like one in a million, is enough to save a person. So you see that mamish, the Nekudot Tovot does not have to be very large, it does not have to be very earth-shattering, it could be a very teeny, teeny part, point of good, and that little point of good has a tremendous koach to save us.
The inmate, it'd be nice if we could have a polar reader that carry it with us.
Yeah, I hear that.
see,
there is some good. You hear it? Maybe we could, you never know. You hop yourself. Imre Emes focuses on a different point, on the comparison He says like this. He says, we should compare ourselves. We should always have balance in our lives in the sense of, if we believe in one thing that makes sense in a certain way, we should believe in the other thing. But he says, many people in this world believe in the ayin hara, right? Don't do this, it's ayin hara. Don't drive that car, it's ayin hara. Don't smile too much, it's ayin hara. You know, people are going to think you're too happy. You know, all these things we're afraid of, ayin hara, don't, you know.
Could you define ayin hara?
Ayin hara is the bad eye, the evil eye, meaning that some other people are looking at you in a way that's jealous and negative way towards you. So the Gemara, there are Gemaras, the
negative energies.
The Gemara said that it says that it can have an actual powerful, actual physical effect on the person. It could damage a person just from someone's bad eye looking upon another person. So there are those that say nowadays, you know, from the Litvish world, I think of Chaim Kanievsky is quoted as saying that only if you really believe in it does it affect you. But there is Gemaras, the Pharisees that speak about it in Nezikin, like there's such a thing, ayin hara. If that's the case, so the Imre Yemes, one of the Ger Rebbes, says, if we believe so strongly that this ayin hara has such a powerful effect, why don't we believe that the ayin tov has a powerful effect? We say that it really does something, it can damage me, right? I had a guy that bought a Lexus, he's a Hasidic Jew for monthly, and he buys very nice cars because he's very wealthy, but he's very, very arrogant and very afraid of ayin hara, so he smashes dents in it. I just buy the Lexus, smash the light in the front a little bit, smash the fence in the back and the side, and he drives it around. It's an amazing car, it's so comfortable, but I need people to look at it like I'm a fancy guy. It's a smashed up Lexus that drives like wonder. So that's what people would go to prevent ayin hara, because they're afraid of it.
I'm
so
happy to drive
the smashed up Lexus. There you go. You'd be happy to have it. I'll see if he has any old ones. The old smashed up Lexus. So if we believe so much in that, we should believe so much in the koach of good. That if when we see another person in a good light and we focus on that, people ask all the time, whenever you mention to them, Azamra, 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 it's like, what is that going to do? Remote control? I look at the guy and he starts to do tshuva. What kind of stuff is that? But if we believe that the other guy looking at us can do something, we should believe that when we look at the other guy in a good light, that it can actually do something in a real way. Sfas Emes gives us another very, very beautiful way to look at things. He says, the Havidonis, kol adam lekav sfas, is the key to that is kol, is that when we look at a person and we start looking at him in a negative light, it's because we're looking at a little portion of him. He says, zoom out, go back and look at the whole person. In general, the whole person is a good person. He's doing good things, he's trying to be good. Instead of getting caught up in this thing and that thing that he's doing bad, zoom out and see the whole person and judge him favorably. And Rabbi Shur of Asra, to end off, he says that if the mission is asking us to judge people favorably, how much more so should we judge Hashem favorably? I mean, what does that mean? It means that when Hashem does things and it's difficult for us and we're having a little hard times, we should done this kol adam lekavsos, we should done HaKadosh Baruch Hu lekavsos, so that it's for our best good and it's all good. We should deserve to see it all good in an easy, clear way. Shem Yizakenu Shekara.